Hello, here I am again, JJ Morello. I'm going to talk about class learning analytics with Rack. So, I am teaching cloud computing right now, 2022-2021. What I'm going to try to make students learn, basically. What I'm teaching is agile development, and then a little bit of DevOps, and test-driven development. That's not really so important. As long as you're teaching anything that's related to programming or anything else for the matter, this is going to be pretty much the same. But from my point of view, and I have always defended that everywhere, is that linear learning is practicing. So if you don't practice, you will not be able to learn. You will not be able to remember. So I use something called project-based learning. Essentially, is that the students are doing not standalone drills or assignments that have nothing to do with each other, but they are progressing through our project, which is a project for the whole semester. Then using something which is called flipped class. Flipped class means essentially that the time that you are giving broadcasting some teaching is reduced to the minimum, and you are going to give only you're going to only teach some students on demand, and when they have some question or whatever. I mean, theoretically, flipped class says that a student should prepare all their material at home, and then they should ask whatever is in there. In practice, that doesn't happen, because of course students don't do that. But what I have done in practice is that I give very small conceptual classes, like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and then the rest of the time is interacting with the student. And then this year, for the first time, have used something called formative grading. That means that grading is not grading an assignment is not the end of the learning process; it's only part of the learning process. So what you are looking for is students reaching some objectives, and you will have every student reaching their objectives at their own pace, so whenever they want. And of course, they have to reach minimum amount of objectives to pass the subject, but everything else is you are not telling them, no, this objective is not reached, you're out, but you tell them what they need to in order to support that. What we do is every one of those things needs some code. That code has been written around 4 or 5 years, but this year I have done a part, very important part of it using Rack. But essentially, if you are going to do project-based learning, you have to create some tests so that when a student submit their objective, you test whether at least some basic part of it is right. Of course, you will have to check out another part, but basically as in any pull request. So the students submit a pull request, and then they pass some test, and then we have to review it to see if the objective has been reached or not. And then if you are going to use flipped class and formative grading, you need to control the individual progress of every student. So you need to know how every student is doing, to offer some help, or to actually know where everyone is, because the class is not progressing in lockstep. You don't have everyone reaching objective number one, and then some of them failing, then objective number two, some of them failing, and so on and so forth. But you might have people going all the whole 9 yards from objective one to objective nine or even 10, right? So basic idea is that I want the students to learn in practice. So instead of having some form or some learning management system or whatever, we use GitHub, and then they create a pull request in their own repository, so that I can review that pull request, and then they submit the URL of that pull request to my repository, so that I can pass tests and I can be warn or I get an alert saying that there's a student that wants some grading. The tests are basically run in Perl and JS. they are wrong in JavaScript because it's there. They are wrong in Perl because it's there. I've already given several talks on why Perl is in every workflow or CI environment. So, well, this is what I do, right? But then we do code reviews. When I say we, it's not only me, or I don't have any teaching assistant this year, so it's essentially me, but also increasingly the students themselves are doing the reviews. Of course, you want your RACU, and I'm going to give you your RACU. It's going to be right here. We're getting there little by little. I mean, the analytics part is the one that where we're going to use RACU. Why? Because it's very practical to do so. So since students, what they do is they submit pull requests to specific files, I use that files to mark whether that specific pull request passes is accepted. So I accept pull requests in their own repository, and then I mark that pull request as, you know, check, it's passed, and it's marked in the same row. And students always have the same row, so they in order to avoid conflicts and everything like that, they know which row of the table they have to modify. And even in one objective, for instance, they have to do pull requests to a different repository. Even in that case, what we are doing is exactly the same. They always have to use the same row. So I know that if a student, like for instance, you can see here, if a student has alcanzado, means reached, has reached an objective, I know that there's going to be a check mark in that specific row. And that's essentially the raw data I have to know if there's some objective fulfilled or not. It's public, it's there. The students can use a pseudonym if they want, or they can use some class specific account. I mean, that's on them. So if they want to use their own account or their work account or whatever, I'm not against that. So it's up to them. I try to show them that GitHub is a big resource, is their portfolio. So if they really want to leverage whatever they do in this subject for their work interviews or whatever, job interviews or whatever, I mean, they're very free to do so, and I really encourage them to do it. At any rate, what you see is I have several markdown files, which are like this, right? So, I mean, the whole idea is that you need to help the students to progress towards every objective, right? So you review, they submit that, it passes original test. I say, okay, if it passes test, I can go and review it. I review it, and then I tell them, well, I request changes. And then it changes, so objectives can be either not submitted because the student hasn't done it, not evaluated, or it hasn't passed. Because it's, I have requested changes and it's not reached yet. It can be done, or it can be unfulfilled. So eventually, when the class period is over, I can't offer them the possibility of resending and resubmitting and changing stuff all the time, just because it's not legal to do so. So if by the time of the final grading is submitted, it can be unfulfilled. So that's another option, right? But we need to know how students are progressing their objectives. So that's, as I said, that's the basic idea. I need to know if some students has dropped at a certain objective, for instance, number 2 or number 3 or whatever. I need to know also how many students have passed every objective. I mean, in general, kind of analytics, so that I know how difficult is every objective, if I need to give them eventually a different weight in the final grade, whatever. So that it's essential to know what's going on. So what I have essentially is a set of the raw material is a set of markdown files, and then I need to know how many students are in every objective. That's essentially it. It's not much more complicated than that. And that is where I use something that I call IV. IV is Infrastructura Virtual, Virtual Infrastructure is the name of this agent, so that's why I've used that namespace. And then stats, because it's essentially statistics. Again, this is the objective, the markdown files with objectives. I obtain grades and anything else I want. So maybe eventually I want to know something more complicated, like for instance, how long does it take from initial submission to passing objective. That's something I intend to do when the subject is over, which will happen in, well, actually it's happening as you are listening to this, because the final presentation was a couple of days ago. Well, so I want to know what are the grades. So I have a weight assigned to every objective, and I want to know the grade. And it's as simple as this. It's a bit more complicated because when I obtain the values, they are in the American or English locale. I want to pass it to the Spanish locale. And we use a comma for decimal separation instead of a dot. But that's essentially it. So this prints something, and I can copy that directly into a spreadsheet, which is what the student see. As I said, I was interested in knowing someone has dropped out, because you have to follow every student individually. So if I know that someone has dropped out in objective number 3, I send them an email, a Telegram message or an email, telling them, can I help you? Is there anything where I can suggest some additional material, some specific thing that you don't know how to do, whatever. So that's one of the things. So you also kind of get to know personally every one of the students and encourage them to continue. Or if you see that they are going to, I mean, the time needed for doing some objective is kind of running out, because classes are about to end, you tell them, well, probably you should try and start with this other objective, because you're not going to run out of time. So I use this simple thing. Again, it's simply an object that's the stats, which as I create the object, they read the markdown files and DSM, and then I check out a couple of things: bajas totales, which is the total number of people who have totally dropped out, or bajas objetivos, who are people who have submitted their objectives, but they haven't passed, so it's still in progress. It's essentially a set difference. It's not a complicated thing. Every objective, what I have is a set of students in every objective, so the only thing I need to compute is a set difference. So as you see here, it tells me that from objective number 0 to objective number 1, there were 5 students that dropped out, and actually what they did was not even submitting the following objective in objective number 1. They simply dropped out because they hadn't passed. And then in objective number 2, I mean from objective number 2 to number 3, there are differences. There are some of them who didn't submit it. There are some of them who submitted it but didn't pass, and that's what I observe here. So I use all the emojis and things like that, so it's a little bit clear. It's actually not decoration. It's not aesthetics. It's kind of I want to kind of see standing out what's happening there. This is actually very, very useful. So I do this from time to time, every week or every couple of weeks. I check how everything is doing, and I contact them, I tell them what's the matter. So I don't want people to be left behind. In some cases, it's essentially due to factors that are not totally unrelated. Actually, in most cases, it's totally unrelated to the class itself. It's, you know, because they are working, they have some family problems, or anything that's really not related, or simply they have other classes that take much more time, and they are maybe less risky, because at the end of the day you have to work to achieve the objectives. Some other thing that I'm interested in is how many objectives have been reached. So, and this is interesting because as you see, I put it in a JSON file. So In this case, essentially, I'm taking every set for every objective, I'm converting it into a list, and I'm putting it into a JSON file, so that I know that objective 0 has been passed by this set of students, objective 1 by this set of students, and so on and so forth, right? So, good thing is that we can put this into inside a GitHub action. So, I don't need to compute every time how many students have passed everything. So, whenever I modify a markdown file, I call this script, and it generates a new JSON file in this way. So you see that it's running in a GitHub action, and it's running Raku natively. So it's a specific GitHub action that is run inside a Raku container, and that's something that I have been talking about, or I will talk about in my other talk in this dev room. So most of the things that I did to create and be able to work within Raku, within a container with Raku, having applied, and this is the use case for that. And this is a nice use case, actually. So in many cases where you're going to have in a repository are artifacts that have it generated from what you have. Again, what I have is markdown files. What I want is a JSON file that helps me, you know, do something else with the information I have. So that JSON file is going to be committed and pushed to the repository, and it's essentially used for one thing. It's because by the end of the class, what we were doing is, for every pull request that was done, the name of three students was generated randomly, and they needed to be three students that have already passed that specific objective. So you make a pull request and say, okay, so I have tried to do objective 3. Then this JSON file contains students that have already passed objective 3, and then it selects 3 randomly. Actually, it goes a little bit further because it puts it in the log file, and it generates automatically a comment in the pull request of the student. So it's telling the student, these three other students are going to review your file, and since it's a comment, they are going to be notified that they have been selected for doing that kind of thing. They do that, of course, for additional credit, and the experience doing so has been really, really awesome. Why? Because you really realize whether the students are internalizing first the art of doing reviews, which is not easy at all. Second, how they have really understood what the objectives were, and they are able to explain it in a code review to one of their colleagues or fellow students. So, all in all, very, very interesting experience. I think it's been, I have evaluated how it's worked, and it's worked pretty well. Only here, essentially, what you try is transparency for time. So you know, you have guaranteed that you're going to reach a certain grade, but you have to work for it. So the students are not unhappy, they mostly have liked it. But from the point of view of Raku, what are our conclusions? First is that we have very easy data processing and handling in Raku. As a matter of fact, I'm working with markdown files. I don't even check them using markdown. I'm using some very simple string processing and regular expressions. So it's not a big deal. It's easy, and it's fast, and can even be included in a GitHub workflow. So, you know, easy peasy. Now we have various integrated. This is something that I coded in the last month or so. So this is integration with GitHub workflows also gives you a lot of room to be able to do lots of things, you know, generating all kind of files, charts, whatever. You name it. It's something that can be done. Besides, this stats has 0 dependencies, but we could very easily add some real statistics, or work with Git and check out, you know, do some Git mining and see how students were doing the pull request, and so forth. So many things that can be done. And as you see, it's awesomeness in a few lines of code. I think that all the scripts that I have created on the library, maybe altogether they are 70 lines of code. So it's, you know, being able to work with sets, being able to process things in a single line of code is really awesome. And it's something that, you know, gives you all the power and expressiveness of Scratch, which is what I like. I don't know if classes, learning analytics is really a killer app, but it's really something that has made my life easier, and hopefully also the life of the students. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Well, hello there. So this is going to be tacked to the end of the video, so I might as well say something. So the thing is, since then, that was on like a couple of weeks ago, and I really wanted to do a few things with it after that. So a main interesting thing is I was interested on knowing first when people were submitting the objective. Because, you know, they have absolute freedom of when to do so. But I wanted to know when they were doing it, actually, so that I could kind of estimate how much time was needed for every one of the objectives. And in order to do so, what I did was to create a specific library that does something like a Git mining. So it looks at history. And after looking at history, what it does is it tells me when every one of the objectives is submitted and when every one of the objectives is fulfilled or not. So that it's relatively easy for me to know when one of the things have started. So that's very awesome class analytics, because when I started with this experience, I still didn't know what how much time was going to be needed for every one of the objectives. I mean, I could say, okay, this is going to need a week or a couple of weeks, but you don't really know how long it's going to take to actually, you know, do so. So I created another module. It's called Git file history, Git colon colon file colon colon history. And then after that, I added another module to this IV stats so that I can use that directly to do so. And you know, it's really been awesome. So it I mean, the fact that it's so easy to work with data and do that kind of thing is you know, is very I mean, reduces the amount of the development you need to do. And also I think that it's a very good example for students to see that we are actually using, you know, some best practices to work with them, and we are as product managers